verse 1. I'm always excited when we start a new chapter. Amen. So I'm just going to go ahead and read a little bit. And then we're going to get to the work. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him there with a couple of donkeys. We don't say that word because that's not a good word in our English language, all right? Some of them pastors can't wait till they get to this text. The boys say every S in that word, boy. You understand what I'm saying? They love it. They're looking for a reason. Ah, well, come on, man. I done cursed enough when I was lost, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just a different word today. So when you see that, you just put donkeys down. Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of donkeys saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the donkeys be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, and where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abided in Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertaineth unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. Father, bless your word and bless your servant to please God. Do a decent job just conveying your word. I pray you do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Saints of God, we've been talking about Absalom stealing the kingdom away from David. And he done it, saints, through a lot of pretended things. Pretended greatness, goodness, humility, pretended religion, and pretended numbers. And the people of Israel couldn't see through it, the facade. And the Bible tells us, amen, that David heard from a messenger that all of Israel went after Absalom. Amen. So David, instead of subjecting Jerusalem to war, hallelujah, and famine and destruction of the infrastructure and the buildings of the city, David said, nah, man, I'm just going to leave. If they don't want me, I'm just going to leave. So David leaves. Amen. And as David is fleeing the city, we've been talking about David's flight. And we've noticed that during his flight, David did some things that just blessed the heart of God. Amen. And we studied that. And God began to send people to David to encourage him in his low time. Remember, he sent Ittai to David, who said, David, listen, where you go, I'm going to go. And where you stay, I'm going to stay. And where you die, I'm going to die. And there will I be buried. And that was the essence of what Ittai was saying. He was quoting, amen, David's ancestor, Ruth. And saying, listen, I might be a Gentile, but I'm rolling with y'all. I'm down with y'all. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I believe in y'all God. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! And we have some that's down like Ruth and here to this day. Amen. Who might not be a part of our people group, but a part of the kingdom group. Amen. Hallelujah. And remember that God, amen, hallelujah, always wanted to make one kingdom out of the peoples, yeah. Hallelujah. When we preach that we the Hebrews, it's not a hate thing. It's not a racist thing. It's not a prejudice thing. It's just an identity thing. It's important to know who you are. You know what I'm saying? But when we find out who we are, we don't kick everybody out. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Because we realize that through Christ, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, they engrafted into the tree of Israel. Hallelujah. But thereby making one tree. Amen. And so our identity don't cancel our oneness. But be sure our oneness don't cancel our identity. Amen. All right. It can't go both ways. All right. And so David, amen, is comforted by Ittai. He's also comforted by Zadok. Zadok, I want to be where you are, Zadok says. But David's able to send him where he needs him. He's comforted by Hushai. Amen. Because Hushai is an example of answered prayer. God heard David. God, please turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. And behold, Hushai come up the mountain. And we saw that Hushai was also an example. Amen. Not only to answered prayer. Hallelujah. But a servant that was going to let David know everything that was going on in the king's house. Y'all remember we talked about that? Amen. And that sermon was all about what? It was all about unity. That we could be one people. Amen. And we've been operating in that this week like on another level. The people of God been tearing down the walls of separation and saying, Pastor, here's what's going on in my life. Here's what's going on in the people that you placed me over to watch over. You know what I'm saying? Because we've been having leaders that's been holding out, telling us about, amen, the people that we are accountable to. And after that sermon Tuesday, amen, we see, amen, that God had set some things back in order. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Woo! So tonight we pick up, amen, in chapter 16, verse 1. And the title of the message tonight is Ziba's Lie. Somebody say, Ziba's Lie. Oh, yeah. Ziba's Lie. And I'm telling you, I'm prepared for 2 points, but my wife told me, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, he's not going to make it. He's not going to make it. He's not going to make it. No, he's not going to make it. I'm telling you, I came with 2 points. But I believe in the wisdom of the woman of God. So I'm going to take my time, and if we don't make it, we just don't make it. 2 points. We was going to talk about Ziba, and then we'll talk about David. And so hopefully God spare life and limb and keep us all. We'll be back here, amen, to talk about David on the next week. But let's just talk about Ziba for a little bit, our first point. When you look at 2 Samuel 16:1, the Bible says, and when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold Ziba. And we can stop right there, all right? The Bible begins in verse 1 by telling us where David was, all right? The Bible wants to tell us his geographic location, his locale, all right? And the Bible says that David was where? He was a little past the top of the hill. And as I was reading this, amen, I just want to get to Ziba, but God said, hold on, cowboy, hold on. This is important, all right? Don't pass this up, all right? A.W. Pink says that this is key to understanding where David is, you see. When we study the topography of the area, amen, in biblical times, a map shows us that David was going up the Mount of Olives, hallelujah, and he was in the territorial, hallelujah, lines of the tribe of Judah. But when he got to the top and he worshiped, and now he's going down the hill. He's no longer in Judah. He crossed over, amen, a boundary line. He has moved into the tribe of Benjamin now. Right? So at the top, he's moving, and he's moving. He's coming on down. Hallelujah. And now he's in the tribe of Benjamin. Well, Pastor, what is the significance of this? Well, Benjamin was Saul's tribe. That's where Saul was from. Who's Saul, Pastor? Saul is the one that David got the kingdom from, right? And there were a lot of people in the tribe of Benjamin who didn't like David. They still wanted Saul to be king. They had a little animosity against David still. They was a little salty against David, right? And some people say, but Pastor, wait, isn't that all Israel? Yeah, that's all Israel. But how many people know, amen, that your own people could not like you? Anybody hear me up in here? All right? So God began to show me through study that David had left friendly territory and he had entered the territory of his enemies. He was behind enemy lines. And chapter 16 is going to take a turn. While we in 15, amen, David is getting encouragement. Ittai, Zadok, Hushai, all right? But that's all about to change in chapter 16. David is going to run into enemies right after another. Amen? Amen? What does this tell us, huh? This tells us that things changes quickly in the life of a believer. You can go to a time of blessing, to a time of bombardment just by crossing the street. You understand what I'm saying? All right? And so we got to be ready for that. We got to be ready for that. You know? What you mean he was behind enemy lines, Pastor? Listen, you could be amongst your own people and still be behind enemy lines. All right? But I have in my notes here, listen, even though you're behind enemy lines, and Ziba about to come to you, Shimei about to come to you, Ahithophel is about to hatch a plan against you, all this in chapter 16, you can still act like a Christian, even though the devil attacking you. Anybody hear me up in here? It's a Job nugget, all right? You got to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. When he giving and when he taking away. When he encouraging you and when you're hitting discouragement. You can't just be a diamond that shine, hallelujah, when the sun's shining. You got to shine underwater. Anybody hear me? Come on. Give God some glory. All right? This means, saints, always be prayed up. Always be in your word. Always have your armor on. Always be vigilant, amen, because your adversary, like a roaring lion roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. All right? Now, here's a discernment thing. Can you tell in your life when you cross into the enemy's territory? Can you tell that? Can you tell when blessing and favor is on you, amen, and then you wake up and then the next day there's a pressure on you? Can you discern that? Huh? And the way it is when you are behind enemy lines, you got to act differently. Huh? You got to act differently. You got to be in more prayer. Amen. You got to be, amen, hallelujah, more in the word. Amen. There's sometimes, and I'm going to take my time here. Amen. Me and my wife will go a place. Hallelujah. And we can discern that the enemy is there. Right? We might go to somebody's house who not really pressing for Christ like they should. All right? And they fussing and they cutting up. And we leave there and we start fussing. Oh, come on now. Some of y'all never discern that. And a lot of times it be them couples that always want you to their house. Because the only time they're getting along is when you're there. And so they always want another person there. Because they had not learned how to work out their own problems. You know? And so they always want somebody around them, another couple around them, because they can't look each other in the face. They hadn't learned how to get along with one another just yet. You see? And I'm telling you, amen, you got to watch that. The Bible says don't set your foot in your neighbor's house too much lest you weary him. That's what the Bible says. And I'm saying, man, listen, you don't want to be, amen, a crutch for another couple. All right? Don't go over there all the time. Let that couple learn how to get along and love each other without you there. All right? They leaning on you, but they need to lean on Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Pastor, we was in an argument. You ain't needed me. You needed Jesus. You needed the Holy Ghost. But sometimes you can go over there and leave fussing. And those without a discerning eye, amen, you think that is between you and your wife, but something done jumped on y'all over there. When you entered that house, you done entered enemy line. Oh, God. I'm giving too much. I'm getting too spiritual. That's why sometimes before y'all go there or before they enter y'all house, y'all got to lock horns and pray. God, in the name of Jesus, don't let nothing we have jump on them and nothing they have jump on us. Cover all of us with the blood and let our fellowship be sweet. And after we leave here, let us not be made the worse, but made the better. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, protect us. As we enter behind enemy lines. Come on, give God some glory, amen. I'm going to keep on moving. The Bible says, and when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him there. All right? The first person that meets David coming down the Mount of Olives in the territory of the Benjamites is a man by the name of Ziba. All right? we are introduced to Ziba in the scriptures in 2 Samuel chapter 9. If you don't remember, Ziba is a servant of Saul, right? He's a man that's doing well. He's doing good for himself. When you learn about Ziba, he has 15 sons and he had 20 servants. He's a businessman. He's an entrepreneur. Anybody hear me up in here? He's doing great. Hallelujah. He's a man of authority. People that he tell go and they go. You understand? So Ziba is a man of influence, a man of authority. When we're introduced to him, David has just become king. Huh? And he's looking for someone to bless, if y'all remember. David said, I'm so blessed sitting up in this kingdom. I just got to bless somebody else. He says, I want to show hasad. I want to show kindness to somebody. And so he finds Ziba, and David says, is there anybody of the house of Saul that's still alive so I could bless him? Y'all remember that in the book? All right? And Ziba says, okay, there's Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, that you can bless. All right? And David says, Ziba, where is he? And Ziba says, he's in Lodabar, in the barren place, in the place where no fruit grow, the place of struggle. Huh? He's in that low place. David went get him there. All right? And when David went get him, amen, David showed Mephibosheth the grace of Almighty God. Ziba wanted Mephibosheth to be blessed. But not that much. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't act like that. Because sometimes that'll creep into our own heart. Well, we want our brother or sister blessed. But when they get it, we say, ooh, not that much. That sister don't have a call. And there y'all go locking horns. Lord, I stand in agreement. Oh, Jesus, Yahshua, Yahshua, all right? And then that sister get a better call than you. And you say, whoa. Now you want to walk around. That's not from God. That's too expensive for you. That sister was praying. Y'all both single. Y'all praying for that sister to get a husband. Ooh, that sister get married before you. You're praying, amen, and that brother need a house or need a job. And that brother get a bigger house than you. You see, sometimes we can want somebody bless you, but we don't want them that blessed. I experienced it myself. Amen. Oh, the whole church was ready for me to get rid of that Ford. I had that dent on the side there. People was coming to me, laying hands on me. Look, speaking in tongues. Ooh, who shot Tupac? For that 150, they rebuking that dent in the side spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Rebuking that dent. Dent doctor. Come on, pastor. Come on, looking for cause for me. But when the Lord blessed me with one. When the Lord blessed me with one. Huh? The same ones that was praying. They say, not that much, Pastor. Thank you, John. Come on, give God some glory for that. Amen. Well, that was Ziba. Huh? He wanted Mephibosheth to be blessed, but no, not that much. Well, what did David do? David gave. Amen. Everything, all the land that pertained to the house of Saul, to Mephibosheth. And look what else David did. In 2 Samuel 9:9, look what it says. Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son, that's Mephibosheth, all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou, you therefore, and thy sons and thy servants shall do what? Shall till the land for him. And thou shalt bring the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Somebody say, at the king's table. You see? Stop right there. All of a sudden, Mephibosheth is lower than the servants of Ziba. He's Lord in the people that's working for Ziba. But because of Hesed, because of God's grace and blessing, woo! David puts, and he's just putting it back in order. David puts Mephibosheth over Ziba. You know what I'm saying? He not only went from Lord and your servants, you became his servant. You became his servant, all right? And you go work for him, tilling his ground and everything, and guess what else? Huh? After you till his ground, you just going to save his money because he ain't going to need to spend it. Because he's going to be seated at the king's table. I'm going to raise him up, amen, to be a prince in the kingdom of Israel. He goes from a person, Lord, and one of your servants, to be in royalty in the kingdom of Israel. Ziba say, I didn't want him to be blessed that much. Huh? Huh? Come on, Christian, let's search our hearts. What if that brother you're praying for that got the same position as you on the job? God hear your prayers and he become your boss. Huh? Would you still walk around praise God? Huh? Huh? What if that brother y'all praying for, amen, and y'all on equal footing in the church, and that brother get promoted before you to be a minister, a deacon, or we make him a pastor and launch him in some city over here? Huh? Would your relationship with that brother or that sister change because they done stumbled upon their season and you ain't stumbled upon yours just yet? Oh, it's quiet, babe. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's quiet. Right? 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 That's what we tell PMG. When we talk to PMG, we tell them that. Huh? That we all start not at the bottom. But you never know who God gonna shine upon in the group. And let me tell you, we do our best to promote and we listen and we say, oh, this one got it, and oh, this is this and this. But listen. When you're in the industry, let me tell you. It's not about what man think, no. Sometimes God will just smile on one of them. And I got a word for the group. What if God smiled on this one and not that one? What if he smiled on her and not you? Him and not you? Will you be a Ziba? Or will you be their greatest fan and cheerleader waiting for your turn? Woo! That's what we tell PMG. Right? So David made Mephibosheth over Ziba. And let me tell you something from the text. Ziba didn't like it. Right? Let's look at the first verse again. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba's servant of Mephibosheth met him with a couple of donkeys saddled upon them, 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 summer fruit and a bottle of wine. So, hallelujah, we back in our text in chapter 16. And this is after, amen, Ziba is the servant of Mephibosheth. And that's how they introduce him in. Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth. He met David while David was fleeing. All right? And he met David alone because Mephibosheth wasn't with him. It's just Ziba. And Ziba brings all kind of goodies and gifts. Right? I looked in one commentary and it said that he brought some summer fruit. Somebody say summer fruit. And one of the summer fruits in Israel that grow is nothing less than watermelon. Oh, somebody say sasebon. Ain't nothing a brother like more than watermelon. Listen. And you got to understand, listen, it's summertime and David is walking, all right? He's repenting, he's walking, he got his shoes off, he not riding, he done just went up a mountain and he's on his way down. Ain't nothing can do David good like a, woo, big old plump, juicy watermelon. So Ziba come up there with a cart full of watermelon. Come up there with some bread, They say some raisin cakes, and another translation says some fig cakes. How many know how much them brothers love them figs and figs? Boy, they eat fig on everything. Fig spread, fig bread. They boy named they barber shop the fig tree. They name their children fig. Fig, come here. So he came with watermelon, figs, pomegranate, plums, bread. He was loaded, and he brought two donkeys with him, all right? What he didn't bring with him was Mephibosheth. It was an elaborate gift, a gift that David needed, a gift that was right on time. David was tired, thirsty, and hungry, walking from Jerusalem with his faithful, loyal friends with him, right? I got a word for you. I wanted you to just write this down. It's going to be like a little sidebar, but I want to show you the character of God in this, and then we're going to get back to it, right? Write this down. Make a mental note that God will sometimes feed you with the ravens. Just put that down. But, Pastor, we don't understand it. I know. I'm going to try my best. You see, a raven is not a good bird. It's an unclean bird. It don't represent nothing good. But when God needed somebody to feed Elijah by the brook, God couldn't find nobody to do it, so he chose the ravens. And the ravens fed Elijah. How many people know that sometimes God will feed you with the ravens? Ziba wasn't a good person. He didn't even have the right motives. He came wanting to do wrong, but God wanted David to be fed and quenched so bad, he brought Ziba to do it. Oh, God, have mercy. What does that mean? Sometimes the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. You see, just because somebody bless you don't mean that somehow you automatically, oh, they must be from God, they must be right, and I'm going to listen to everything they say. No, that don't mean that. I don't mean that, because sometimes he'll bless you, he'll feed you through the ravens, all right? Just to get you through a season, you know? Somebody know what I'm talking about here. Come on, give God some glory, amen? All right, here it is, verse 2. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the donkeys be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. Now Ziba, amen, puts his flattery into gear right here, into gear. You might not be able to see it yet, but verse 2 is all about flattery. He is flattering King David to the maximum, all right? Back in the Hebrew days, whenever you brought the king something, amen, from your house, something that he needed, amen, you never said that you was bringing it for him, right? You wouldn't say that, right? And the reason you wouldn't say that is to flatter the king, because you want the king to know that I'm bringing you something from my house, but this is not a worthy gift for you, king. I got some watermelons, I got some donkeys, I got some bread, amen. But you're worth more than my meager gifts. I brought it, but if you don't find it at your level, just give it to the young men. Just give it to your household. I didn't really bring it for you, king. But when I give it to you, you use it how you want. I don't want to insult you with these modest gifts. You see? Give it to your men, or if you want, use it for yourself. Somebody say flattery. Ziba is slick, y'all. I got all Ziba slick. All right. Now let's break this down even further. Y'all ready? Subpoint A. Ziba wanted to be master and not manager. Say that with me. Ziba wanted to be master and not manager. Ziba did not want to be servant of Mephibosheth. He wanted Mephibosheth to serve him. It could have been because of pride. He thought he was better than Mephibosheth. Why would he think that? And me and my wife was going to work. She said, how could he think he was better than Mephibosheth? Why, Mephibosheth is, he's Jonathan's son. He's the son of the prince. His grandpappy is the king. How in the world could Ziba think that he was better than Mephibosheth? And I answer, I say, that's just how foolish pride is. That's just how foolish pride is. You could think you had, you could think you better than somebody that you have no right to think that of. You see? He looked at Mephibosheth and he said, well, Mephibosheth handicapped and I'm not. Mephibosheth was in Lodabar and I wasn't. Mephibosheth was down and out living in the streets and I'm paying people more than Mephibosheth was making. I'm better than Mephibosheth. You see? When people was handicapped, they looked at it as a curse from God. And he probably looked at Mephibosheth and said, Mephibosheth ain't got no favor. I'm the one with all the favor. So since he thought he was better than Mephibosheth, he said, if anybody deserved to serve anybody, Mephibosheth should be serving me. Right? But it was pride. Right? It was pride. Saints of God, don't ever let pride jump on you like that. When God puts somebody over you, you humble yourself. And I don't care if you think you're better than them or not, stronger than them or not, come from a better family than them or not, more educated than them or not, right? The word is that the king put Ziba under Mephibosheth. And there's some people that the kingdom put you under. You play your part, you wait your turn, and as God watch you humble yourself, he gonna exalt you in due time, all right? Woo! Look at Proverbs 18:12. It says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. But before honor, before God honors you, he has to see in you humility. All right? You gotta be able to get under. And get under people sometimes that's less than you. All right? Well, it might not have been because of pride. It could have been because of covetousness. Maybe Ziba was just greedy. Huh? He said, I don't want to work for Mephibosheth. I don't want a salary. I don't want a cut. Ziba could have said, I want it all. Now, this is dirty, all right? I remember one time we was watching at the house, me and my little wife, we was watching, amen, Ken Burns. That was a long time ago. I don't really watch TV too much like that, but we was watching a documentary on the presidents. And they were doing a part on Joseph Kennedy, which is JFK's daddy, all right, and how he made millions, all right? He had money in the stock market, amen, and right before it was supposed to crash, he pulled it out. And they say, Joseph, what's wrong with you? They still got money to be made. Keep your money in there a little longer. And he say, one of the things, amen, that I wrote down on my spirit, right? He said, you can't be greedy. You can't make all the money. Anybody hear me up in here? You can't make all of it. Can't make all of it. Sometimes you got to leave some on the table. Because when you try to make it all, you could lose it all. I know you don't gamble no more, but they had a whole old Negro spiritual. You got to know when to fold them. You understand what I'm saying? Sing it for a big brother. Know when to run away. All right, listen. All right, that was his jam. Don't come trying. You see? But he wanted all the money. All right? And sometimes you could want all the money and end up with nothing. So you got a job that pay you something. All right? But sometimes greed could set in. All right? and you want more, and you pushing, amen, and you're not satisfied, when in actuality, you're living better than a lot of people. All right? As we look at Ziba, he didn't want for nothing, y'all. All he was supposed to do was manage Mephibosheth's estate, and Mephibosheth was in the palace. Just manage that, you know? But because of greed, he said, no, I don't want to manage it. I want to be master. Be careful. Be careful. Don't be greedy, saints. Somebody say, Lord, help me not to be greedy. Yeah. Let's look at this next one. All right? Subpoint B, Ziba's gift. Ziba's gift. In this subpoint, I want to talk about what Ziba brought and his heart intention when he brought it. All right? Ziba gave David products, and it was good. But why he gave it was another story. Ziba had a wrong motive for doing good. All right? And that's why, amen, when the Bible says that we all sinners, that's why the Bible is so true. All right? And that's why good people going to ultimately go to hell without Jesus. Anybody hear me up in here? Because sometimes we look out and we see on TV, we see people, they're not saved, they don't have Jesus, but they look like good people. And they're doing good things. And we say, how in the world, hallelujah, could they go to hell when they opening schools and when they feeding this one and they feeding that one and they got soup kitchens and they doing that? They doing good. All right? You see, you're looking at it from a human perspective. All right? But God don't see like man see it. God see the heart. And God just not interested in what you do. He's interested in the why you do it. You understand what I'm saying? So, some people doing good out there, but they're doing it just for a tax break. They're doing it for publicity. They're doing it so that they can have, amen, their name, amen, in lights, amen, to only exalt themselves. All right? And so, in the midst of this good activity, amen, this apparently good fruit is the root of a rotten tree. You see? And that's why we need Jesus, saints. That's why the Bible says that, hallelujah, our righteousness, the good works we do, our righteousness to God is like filthy rags. Because once he get through the cover of our righteousness, he see our motives. He see our motives. He see the why we do things. So you got a man that's cutting grass and doing all this for a single parent, and it looked like it's good. And he carry himself around the neighborhood like a good man. He working on people's cars for free. He cutting grass. He doing all kind of stuff. But what people don't know, as they look at the exterior of his works, he really doing it to get in bed with these women. But nobody see that. But the Most High see it. Anybody hear me up in here? And his very works that he doing is sin. Is sin. You see how deep it go? That's why we need Jesus. That's why we can't be saved without him. All right? Because the Bible tells us that, listen, without Christ, all of our imaginations, all the imaginations of men are evil continually without Christ. Meaning that, I'm telling you, even the good we do. Paul say, hallelujah, when I even try to do right, Paul say, evil is always present. You know? But the blood of Christ take our works and run it through the blood. He sanctify our works. He give us another heart so we can love people and do right, not because of any ulterior motive, but for the glory of Almighty God. Oh, come on, somebody. That's how deep it is. And it might not even be that the man cutting the grass and doing that just to get with the woman. All right? But you know how deep it is with God? You know, if we don't do something for God's glory, it don't mean nothing to God. You know, the Bible tells us only what's done for Jesus gonna last. You understand what I'm saying? So you could be a good person doing things for everybody, but it don't amount to nothing to God. You're doing it for yourself, and you become a god, and that's sin, because that's not, now that's idolatry. It's only through Christ. So here we have Ziba doing good works for himself. All right? Doing good works for himself. All right? And so here's the reason he goes and he brings this gift to David. He brings this gift to David, amen, to, amen, try to get David to give him all of Mephibosheth's property. All right? He's going to frame Mephibosheth right here. And you say, wait, how is David going to give him Mephibosheth's property when David is not the king? All right? David is running. Hallelujah. But Ziba is so insightful. He's so smart. He knows that there's a chance that David can be king again. He knows that there's a chance that Absalom's rebellion can end up in failure. And so he brings the gifts to David, amen, because he says, listen, in the long run, if David is ever put back in the throne, amen, David's going to owe me a favor. All right? Proverbs 18:16. Look what it says. A man's gift does what? It makes room for him. And bring him before what? Before great men. It'll bring him before kings. The NLT says this. Giving a gift opens doors. It gives access to who? To important people. All right? Now, Brandy, usually this scripture is a good thing. And if you're a wise Christian, amen, and you want to get yourself in position and do some things, amen, for the glory of God, it's all right to bless people around you because your gift make room for you. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? All right? Your gift make room for you. Amen? Give and it shall be given to you, the Bible says. All right? So for all the takers out there, for all the people who don't give nobody nothing but just take from people, amen, you're not going to be brought before great men. All right? But it's when you a giver. It's when you say, listen, I want to buy you lunch. And when you say, listen, let me bless you with something. Amen. It's the givers that get. Oh, God. Come on. Somebody got to hear me up in here. It's a message. It's a message. All right? And I'm just telling you, hallelujah, just don't look around, hallelujah, and live life, hallelujah, with the motto, what can I get from somebody? All right? You got to be willing to give somebody something. You know what I'm saying? Giving is a key that opens doors. All right? All right? All right? Now you could take that and pervert that, though. And this is what Ziba does. All right? Because Ziba gives a gift not only to open the door, but for an evil reason. Right? Proverbs 17:23. A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to do what? To pervert the ways of judgment or justice. What I'm saying is give somebody something to open doors of opportunity for you. But don't give somebody something so that they could do evil on your behalf. All right? That's not giving a gift. That's called bribery. And there's a tremendous difference, all right? Ziba was trying to pervert justice to make David do wrong. He was trying to get something from David and trying to take something from Mephibosheth. I got two things. Don't ever give people something so that you can get them to do evil. And secondly, don't you be so shallow to where people bring you presents and you do evil and you do things against your God for the little trinkets that they bless you with. All right? All right? You got to watch that. All right? And America is built on this giving of trinkets to do wrong. It's built upon it. And wherever you look at the American system right now, amen, it needs a tremendous overhaul. Because the whole lobbying system and the whole way that Congress works is the people who can give the most gifts, amen, the people who can give the biggest bribes, the people who could provide the most lavish lifestyles, and quite frankly, give them the vices that they want, the sins that they want, Amen. That's the people who get the laws that they want. I was speaking to a Taiwanese woman. Hallelujah. She was one of my legal clients back in the day. And we was just discussing the form of government they have in Taiwan and the form of government we have in America. And because, listen, we're just talking about this stuff. And she told me, she said, I'm troubled, amen, how people can go in and buy legislation in America. Whatever they want. Whatever they want. And it's legal. They call it lobbying. It's like people's job. You know? And so the highest bidder wins. But it's not just Congress, Sabrina. It's creeped into our agencies, the Food and Drug Administration. Meaning that these big companies could do anything they want with our food. As long as they're supporting the FDA and supplying their budget and paying them, the FDA turned the eye on how much steroids and antibiotics placed in our chicken. They turn their eye on how they treat the chickens and how fast the chickens grow. They turn their eye on all of that. And it's not just our food, but it's the drugs that they give. I remember my little wife did a paper, amen, when she was at Southern, amen, on the pharmaceutical company. And how they the ones that's providing money as well, not only to Congress, but to the FDA. And these same pharmaceutical companies, amen, are paying for the tests that say whether their drug is safe or not. Now, wait. What kind of conflict of interest is that? So it's my drug. And the test that's going to determine if my drug is safe or not, I pay for that? I'm paying the scientists that's testing whether my drug is safe and whether I'm going to make $1 billion. Duh. When I drop his check off, I say, it's safe, huh? A nation founded upon bribery, upon lobbying, upon a conflict of interest, upon a zebra type way of lying and manipulating to get your way. My little wife did that paper on the pharmaceutical company and showed that the company knows beforehand that their drug gonna make people hear voices and hurt somebody and hurt themselves. They know that beforehand. They know that beforehand. But what they do is do a cost-benefit analysis. You remember when you wrote that? They do a cost-benefit analysis, meaning that, okay, this is how many people going to die. And this is the number of suits we're going to have. And we got the lawyers and the law, so this is the cap on how much they can get back. All right? All right? But this is how much money we're going to make. We're going to pay them this much, and we're going to make that much. Run with the drug, no matter who it hurt. No matter who it hurt. Well, the FDA ain't going to protect the people. FDA. Send them a check to. Run with the drug. It's the same way in the Justice Department, in Hollywood, the entertainment, the acting, the music. People doing things that's unrighteous, perverting justice, going against their God, for some watermelons and some pomegranates, some trinkets, a little outfit, a little earring, you know? And I remember listening to a snippet of Michael Jackson before he passed. He said, oh yeah, they're going to make you rich. But before you go, they're going to take it all back. And they're going to make sure you're penniless. And you done sold your soul to them people. Remember what Prince had on his face? Slave. All for some little trinkets. That's why with PMG we doing some things differently. That's why with our businesses we doing some things differently. You know why? Because money and our God. God is our God. And we doing things for his righteousness. Don't let nobody prostitute you. Anybody hear me up in here? Don't let nobody pimp you. Amen. For some little gifts and some little trinkets. That's what Ziba was doing to David. Don't let him do that to you, man. Because they'll come with it. You see? Look, I'm almost done. Here's the last thing. Ziba, the manipulator. All right? It's the last thing. Oh, God. Here's the funny thing about Ziba. He paid David off, yeah. And he brought David all kind of goods. But those goods he brought didn't even belong to him. You hear that, Harvey? They had belonged to Mephibosheth. It was Mephibosheth's estate. So he took what was not his, that belonged to Mephibosheth, went bribed David, and turned David's heart from the person who owned the goods that he was bringing to. Oh, God. Let me say that again. Let me say that again. You see? He takes what belongs to Mephibosheth, uses it to gain favor with David, and then to add insult to injury, he slanders Mephibosheth, the person whom all the things belong to. You see? That's like somebody taking your money to make people like them and turn around with your same money and make people hate you. Be like, wait, that's my money. Well, what did he do to Mephibosheth? Look at verse 3. And the king said, "Where is thy master's son?" David asked, "Where's Mephibosheth?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he abided at Jerusalem. Because he said, 'Today shall the house of Israel restore me the king.'" Look what Ziba, this is the lie right here. Ziba tells David that Mephibosheth said he's going to use this opportunity to make himself king. That today is the day he's been waiting on. That God is going to restore the kingdom to Mephibosheth. Not to David and not to Absalom. Boy, that's a big fat lie. Anybody hear me up in here? That's a lie. Right? Pastor, what you call Ziba? We call Ziba a manipulator. Somebody say a manipulator. A manipulator is a person who controls and influences other people through clever means in an unscrupulous, wicked, evil way. All right? They usually manipulate people to their own selfish advantage. And they use dishonesty to do it. And they're usually unfair, inequitable. And they usually do it under the cover of darkness. Meaning that you can rarely see the manipulator when it all comes down. The manipulator do their work when nobody watching. They do it through covert means. All right? So what I'm saying is, Ziba go to David. Ziba not hurting Mephibosheth himself. He's going to covertly try to get David to hurt Mephibosheth through bribes, through slander, through the back door, right? And I'm going to tell you, they got people in here like that, sitting in this room right now like that. And they got people at your house like this. And they got people on your job like this. What are they, Pastor? They manipulators. They make other people do their dirty work. They do it through insinuations. You know, Pastor been so unfair to us. You know, I ain't never liked Shalanda. What you think about what Shalanda did? Now, they're not man enough or woman enough to come and tell you Shalanda to your face. You see, because if Ziba had a problem with Mephibosheth, be a man and go talk to that man. You understand what I'm saying? But what the manipulator do, they go through covert means. They don't come talk to pastor. They tell Mr. Doug, look at him up there. Think he's some with his little red suit jacket. You know what I'm saying? He ain't bought that book from Steinmark. You right, I bought that from Steinmark. And it was on sale. Here we go. What's that word we're talking about? Manipulators. All right? Ziba is the classic manipulator. Why? Because he's selfish. All he sees is himself. He is at the center of his world. And his future and his good is the most important thing to Zebra. He is not worried about anybody else. He don't care about David, and he don't care about Mephibosheth. He uses David to depossess Mephibosheth, take everything Mephibosheth owned, you know, and he don't care about him at all. Here's the word, Philly. Don't you be a Zebra up in him. Don't you be a manipulator. Don't you be so selfish that you want your way above any and everything. You don't care who you got to lie about. You don't care what you got to do to get it. You don't care who you got to step on to get to what you want. That's a manipulator. And then not be man enough to approach the issue face to face. You're going to do it through somebody else. You see? And that's not a good thing. And let me tell you, God exposes manipulators. Anybody hear you? All right? You know, me and my wife, we can hear the voice of the manipulator through the person they send. Somebody will ask us for something, and we look at each other and we say, oh, that's such and such accent for that. And you know what we say to ourselves? Man, why he just don't come and ask? You have not because you asked. Hello, my phone going off. You know what I'm saying? Must be somebody got convicted. But listen, don't operate for that. They're looking for an opportunity to promote themselves and to paint somebody else in a bad light. I'm winding down. Listen, I can't deal with somebody like that. I can't deal with that. And they wonder why, amen, we have some people close to us and other people can't be too close. All right? It's because we can't let manipulators close. You see? I'd rather somebody talk crazy every once in a while. I'd rather somebody still deal with a little temper every once in a while. Say the wrong thing every once in a while. I'd rather that. You know why I'd rather that? Because deep inside their heart is still pure. There's no malice in that. And when they ask me for something or when they do something, you understand what I'm saying? It's brailing. I see it's what you want. All right? And you're not asking it of me to get over me and to hurt nobody else. It's just you, dog. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? And I can respect a man like that. I can respect a woman like that. Listen, your problems that you might have in life, listen, that's not too much of a big deal to me, no. But it's the maliciousness that's a big deal. It's the being diabolical that's a big deal. It's the ulterior motives that's a big deal. Because I can't trust when you ask me for something, whether me blessing you gonna hurt somebody else. I'm doing the best I can. And they be wondering, man, but they say, man, why they like this one and they like that one? Why they? Because what you see is what you get with them. As a people, the Hebrews, in order for us to be a real people, amen, we're going to have to get rid of this manipulation. You see, the false people manipulate. The Khazarians, they manipulate to get their way. The real people don't manipulate, y'all. The real people trust in their God. I'm almost done. Because at the root of manipulation is a lack of faith. Every sickness have as though it were a root issue. The manipulator, the Jacob, the trickster, his problem is that he don't trust God to do it without his help. So instead of Ziba sitting back and saying, I'm going to get mine, because what God has for me is for me, I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not unto my own understanding. And all my ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct my path. That's the true child of God. I trust him. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. But the manipulator can't trust God. He said, no, God, I got to do this. I got to trick Esau. I got to trick Laban. I got to go forth, amen, and do this and do that. And at the end of the day, you know what Jacob has on his hands? A bunch of broken relationships of people all around him that he'd manipulated and tricked. You don't trust God. They manipulate in their marriage, in their ministry, and on their job. Trying to pull themselves up by their bootstraps instead of trusting that promotion come from the Most High God. Woo! Saints, this is why, amen, you got to see this sin. First in yourself, and then secondly in your children. When you see it in your children, you're going to watch them whisper to other kids that's younger or older. They're going to whisper and get people to do stuff on their behalf while they sitting in the backdrop, not getting in trouble and watching everybody else get in trouble. When you see that wicked sin, I don't want no agency to call me, big brother, when I say, but what I want to say is, you better put it on them. You better get that foolishness out of there, all right? Because a manipulating child turns into a manipulating adult. But there's a bigger reason why you get that out of them. The bigger reason is because if you raise a manipulating child, you have just raised a child that can't trust God. They rely upon themselves to get themselves in every position and every place that they get in. The problem with manipulators when they grown is that they are most likely not saved. Start the music, Sambu. They not saved because they had not trusted. They can't trust God for their next meal. They can't trust God to pay their bill. They can't trust God to get a promotion. They can't trust God that that husband gonna actually buy the house they want or get the car they want. They can't trust God in none of these minor issues. So how in the world you think they can trust God with something as important as their souls? Manipulation is a sign that you don't trust him just yet. Your faith is not in him just yet. At the end of the day, if I had to watch how you live, you would live like a person that's trying to earn their way to heaven. Tonight, listen. We got to kill this manipulation. We got to crucify this thing. Tonight we got to say, God, I'm going to trust you with my salvation, but I'm going to trust you with everything else in my life. I'm not going to be a zebra. You see? I want to pray the sinner's prayer with you. And we're going to go. But while we're going, there's a song that I want you to hear, amen. And I believe that it can change your life. I'm wrestling up here, you know that? Because I know what God want me to do, but I'm looking at my watch. Anybody hear me up in here? Ushers, open the gates. If you feel in your spirit, amen, that you want this salvation and you're ready to give it away to God. If you feel in your spirit that you've been manipulating your way, you've been acting like a zebra. If you feel you want to pray with me at this altar, listen, we're going to do it. And I'm going to turn on this song and we're going to pray right quick and then we're going to get out of here. You say, Pastor, man, I thought you was going to be signing the book. This is way more important than signing the book, saints. I don't care about that. I really don't care about it. It's way more important. Because if I can get you, amen, to trust your God. Brother Brent, play the song for me, please, or whoever work in the sound booth. We're going to just do this, and then I'm going to go out in the foyer, and you can get your book if you want. I'll sign it for you if you want. But don't miss this opportunity. Amen. Don't miss this opportunity. Hallelujah. Listen, the altar is open. Come on and come. Even before they have the song, come on and come. 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 The altar is open, saints. Come on and come. We got to fix some things. We got to get some things right. We got to get some things right. We got to get some things right. You've been doing this on your own strength. There's no grace. That's why you're tired. That's why you can't seem to break through. It's been you. And it's not God. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Somebody say, God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for loving me. I'm sorry for my sins. I admit I've sinned against you. But I believe that you died, you were buried, and you rose on the third day. Lord, save me, a sinner. And Lord, help me trust you with every aspect of my life. I put down my own strength, my own way. I don't want to kick down doors. I want you to open doors. Father, please. I don't want to be a zebra. Father, please. Take it out of me. Father, please. In my marriage, in ministry, on the job, I want you to promote me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some glory, saints. Woo! My God! I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I kept y'all long. I'm sorry I kept y'all long. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And may he bless you. Love you too. May he bless you with peace and shalom and favor in your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all, saints. Be blessed.
My life is in the hands of the maker of heaven. Oh. Fire. I lean not on my own understanding.